Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
I want us to look at a lesson today that I think is very important. What was read in your hearing a while ago in Acts 4th chapter is talking about encouragement. I think we need encouragement in the world we live in today. There's enough to discourage us. You know, you go to get gas and you look at how much it costs, and if you're like me, I can remember when I paid 18 cents a gallon for it, and everybody's going, 18 cents a gallon? Did they ever charge that little for gas? You know, yes, they did. At one time, they did. I don't think it's ever going to go back to that, so that's okay. That's not the beginning and the end of the world. But it is a little discouraging when you look at what you make and what's going on about it, and you look at all the difficulties that we have to face in our lives and all the discouragement that's there. And there's a lot of it today. It seems that our news media likes to just bring up things that really, you know, I don't know if I really need to know or not. But it's kind of discouraging to a certain extent, and so what we've got to do is to understand that. But you know, you go to a ball game, and this is an important thing. You go to a ball game, and guy hits a home run. What do all the people in the dugout do? They all come out, and they're patting him and high fives, and whoa, you know, and oh, great, you know. And you know, the people that wear all this equipment on them, helmets and all the pads, when they play football, you know what that's for? It's not to play ball. It's when you get a touchdown, they jump on top of you. You need protection. Or you get that guy that he runs in for the touchdown and then he's doing this little dance and he's spinning the ball around and all that, and I'm thinking, gee, that's a lot of energy to waste for just, you know, that. But there's a purpose behind all that. It's to encourage the other players. It's to encourage that player. It's to get them to feeling like, you know, this is really something. This is a great thing. It's a great game. And you have all these things that encourage us and lift us up and make us want to do more and want to go out. And we want to, the next batter up wants to knock a home run. The next person up with a football wants to run all the way down and get to the end there. We have this encouragement in sports and all. Well, then you come to church. Boy, is that a big change. You come to church and you say, okay, you need to be holy. Now, what does holy mean? Quiet. Don't say anything. Sit there. Don't speak. And we wonder why people don't want to come to church. Now, I'm not saying, you know, after a sermon, I want to get a high five. Okay? I won't turn it down, but I'm not asking for that. But we need to have a little bit of life about us. We need to have a little bit of encouragement about us. And that's something we need to do. We need to encourage other people. Now, I don't know about you. You saw the teachers that we had last week in Vacation Bible School, the teachers that we had today, all that. When's the last time you went up to a teacher and said, I appreciate what you're doing? I appreciate you teaching the class. I appreciate you helping in that class. I appreciate you leading singing this morning. I really appreciate that. I appreciate the people that did the prayer. Read the scriptures. When is the last time that you went up to them and you said, I appreciate that? Now, I know we say that to young people, and we need to do that. We need to encourage them. But let me tell you something. Gray-headed old people need encouraging too, don't you? Well, I guess you got to wake up first before you can get it. We all need that. We all need to feel good about that. We all need to feel some life in us when we come in. If there is anything the Lord did not intend, He did not intend for the worship service to be a funeral service. Do you know our Lord was raised from the dead? So we're not having a funeral service here. Now, again, I'm not saying after a sermon, let's jump on the preacher, okay? High fives, all that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us have some encouragement and we encourage other people and we need to be willing to do that. Some people are looking for jobs in the church. We're looking for things to do and I've had people say, what can I do? What can I do? Let me tell you something. I can tell you something you can do, and you don't have to know every book in the Bible. You don't have to know every scripture in the Bible. It's good to know those things. I'm not saying it's not good to do that. But there's something everybody can do, and that's encourage other people. You can walk up and say, you're doing a good job. You can go up to people and say, listen, I appreciate what you're trying to do. Now, they may not be the best in the world, but they're trying. And that's all any of us can do is try. That's what we're supposed to do, is to try to do the best job we can do. Try to accomplish what we need to be able to accomplish. We've got to be willing to do that. But here we come into the church, and it's just like it's supposed to be dead, you know. And that where do we get the idea that holy means quiet? Where did we get the idea that to be holy? Now, and please don't, you can go to the other extremes and we can have people jumping and dancing and all that stuff, and we can, you know, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say what we've got to do is have God within us. That's what we need to have, is God dwelling within us, causing us to be people that this book has influenced us in such a way as that we recognize how important it is, and we're going to serve God and we're going to do God's will no matter what. We've got to be that way. That's what we've got to try to help people to see, that we want to be people, that we want to worship God and we want to serve God. We want to encourage others in doing those things. Now, look at this. I want us to see some people. Turn, if you would, to Romans, the 16th chapter, verses 3 and 4. That's the second point. Go back to Acts 4, verses 36 and 37. I was fixing to go through, I'd skip a whole point there, and I know y'all don't want that. Y'all want this full sermon, I'm telling you. You need it. I need it too. In Acts, the fourth chapter, the passage I read and you're hearing a while ago, here is Barnabas in Acts 4. In Acts 4, the people are needing food. They've stayed there in Jerusalem for a period of time. They're needing some help. You know, if you're traveling, usually, if you're like us, you travel with just enough money to get you there and to get you back. At that time, they did that. They didn't have a credit card. They couldn't write a check. So here they were staying later and learning more about God's Word and hearing about it, and people needed help. So what did Barnabas do? Barnabas took land that he had, and he went and he sold it and he brought it back. He laid it at the apostles' feet so that they could take that and distribute it out. He gave them the money to do that. Well, now the point of the sermon is today, if you've got money and you've got land, then give it to the preacher. Y'all like that? Some of you are going like this, and I'm going, oh, man. No, that may be the case. That may be what we might need to do sometime. There may be a need for that. I'm not saying there's a need today for that. But I'm saying what we've got to do is to be so enthused about this that we're willing to put ourselves into it. We're willing to put our money into it. We're willing to put our time into it and our effort into it. If we're not willing to put our time, our effort, and our money into it, why would we want anybody in the world to do that? We've got to be willing to do that. He sold what he had, and he came in, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. You distribute it out as it needs to be distributed. You help other people in that. You know, in the last few weeks, we have seen a lot of people do a lot of good things. Get a bulletin and read the letter in there that Lamar and Velvet wrote. Great thing, the encouragement that people have, and we need to do that. I hope we don't wait for a storm to do that, though. I hope we don't wait for houses to be blown away to encourage other people and to lift other people up. Here he was willing to do this. He was willing to help. But I want you to understand, this was not something that he just did one time, and it's a one-time thing, and he's saying, okay, I'm going to do this one time, and that's it. Turn, if you would, to Acts, the 14th chapter and verse 20. Acts 14 and verse 20. I want you to see this. However, when the disciples gathered around him, somebody's been stoned. They've drug him out of the city thinking he's dead. But he's not. Paul has been stoned. Well, that doesn't sound like a big encouragement, does it? But here he's stoned, and so they bring him out of the city. But then he raises up, and they went on into another city. They went Paul went to Derbe. Verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch. Look at verse 22. Strengthening the souls. How you do that? How do you strengthen a soul? I know how you strengthen a body. You get out here and you exercise and you do things and you know, you watch what you eat and you watch how you sleep and you get that exercise and it causes that body to change. If it was just like it is on television where you can buy this machine in 2 weeks, you got that body, you know. But it doesn't work that way. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. Here, it's saying these people that had been, one of them had been stoned and left for dead. The others had seen that. That should have been the most discouraging thing in the world. They should have said, this Christianity is not worth it. It's not worth suffering like that. It's not worth going through all those things. But what did they do? They went ahead and they preached and they taught the gospel and they were those that were encouraging other people. They were strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must, through many trials or tribulations, enter into the kingdom of God. We're going to have some trouble. We're going to have some problems. Wait a minute. Now, this is supposed to be a sermon on encouraging. Why have you got to have problems? You see, when you have a problem, you realize more what you have and how important it is in your life. You realize the things that are necessity. It's a shame that we don't appreciate other people until they're dead and gone. It's a shame that we don't appreciate a congregation that we've got until something happens and it's destroyed, maybe. I've seen people that are looking in their lives for a congregation they attended 50 years ago. Because it was such a wonderful time. It was such a great thing. And that's good. Been a part of those congregations where people said, I wish the current church could be like it was years ago. Well, okay, let's do what they did years ago. And we can have that. But if we don't, it won't come back. It may come back greater and better. We need to have that. We need to encourage. Problems are going to come. Difficulties are going to come in our life. But here, Barnabas is one who is willing to continue teaching the gospel no matter what. This was a way of life for him. This was what he was trying to do within his whole life. And he didn't stop. He didn't quit. It wasn't a one-time thing of bringing money in and setting it down there and said, okay, I've done my part. But it was a way of life. This thing of encouraging, this thing of helping, this thing of doing is not something we do one time, but it's something. It's a way that we live our lives. And we're going to keep on doing that. Let me ask you something. In this congregation, are you a person that encourages or discourages? Now, we're going to do one or the other. I hope you can be a person of encouragement. I hope you can be a person that you're willing to lift people up. Even maybe when you have to face some difficulties in your life, you're still encouraging other people. Have you said to the teachers, I appreciate what you're doing? Have you said to the preachers, I appreciate what you're doing? Have you said to other people, I appreciate what you're doing? We need to do that. We've got people that are working on the jail ministry. We've got people that are working on teaching. We've got people that are working on this, that, and the other. Go up to them and tell them you appreciate that. Richard Magdalene cleaned the building. Let me tell you something. If you don't know how hard that job is, try it sometime. It's not an easy job. Wouldn't you tell them, hey, I appreciate that. I appreciate what you're doing. We need encouragement. All of us do. And sometimes that encouragement is the thing that keeps us going. It's a thing that helps us to be able to accomplish those things that need to be done. Now, look at this one. This is the second point that I was going to a while ago before I got here. In Romans 16, verses 3 and 4, I want you to see this. Here is others in the Bible that were willing to encourage people. Listen to this. Paul, what he had to say. in Romans 15, or Romans 16, verses 1 through 16, and I'm not going to read all of this. I want you to see this. See what it did, what he says here. I commend to you, Phoebe, our sister. I'm saying you need to encourage her, who is a servant at the church at Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. Now, what do you think those people thought when they met this lady? What do you think? Wow, man, she's something else. Did you read that letter that Paul sent to us about her and about what she did? Then he goes on, verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks. They put their life on the line for me and for others, in whom not only I give thanks, but also all the church of the Gentiles. And we could, I mean, you just read this, read the whole chapter, and read about these people here that they commend, that they talk about. Greet Antipas, greet Mary, as he goes on to talk here in this. Greet Apollos. I'll get that right in a minute. And greet, and he just goes on and on. Why is he doing that? Why did God put that in there? Why did God put this 16th chapter in his book? It's just greetings. It's just saying thank you for these people. Thank you for what they've done. Look at what they've done. Pray for these people. And Paul on other occasions said, I've been praying for the church there. I've been praying for you as an individual. I've been talking about that. Why was he doing that? He was encouraging people to go on. Brethren, that's something they did in the first century church. That's something in the church today we need to learn how to do, is encourage other people in the work that they're doing. Because let me tell you something, it gets discouraging from time to time, doesn't it? Maybe I'm the only one that thinks about that. But it does, and we need to encourage others. We need to lift others up. We need to talk to others. We need to commend others. That's what Paul's doing here. That's what he's trying to do. And then we go over to Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 20. Listen to what he says here. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've heard about this. I've heard about what people have said about you. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Paul said, I've heard about what you did. Well, I thought we need to encourage people that we knew what they did and we saw what they did. Have you ever written a letter to somebody and just said, I want to thank you for what you're doing? I want to thank you for how you're trying to teach the gospel, how you're trying to help other people, how you're trying to do for other people in the kingdom of God. They don't have to be a preacher. Just whoever. And let them know that you appreciate them and what they're trying to do. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, I've heard about you. I've heard about what you had to do. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you and I'm praying for the work that you do. I know these missionaries would love to receive big checks from you. That's just normal, you know. I don't turn money down. And a missionary is certainly not going to do that. I did have one time. The fellow was coming out and the guy gave him a check, said, I'm giving you the check to go on your vacation. He said, no, you keep that. I don't need money like that. He didn't take it from him. I'd have taken the money. Then I'd have told him that. But we need to encourage other people. We need to encourage them in the work that that they're doing. If it's mission work or whatever they're doing. Write a letter. Let people know that you appreciate what they're doing. And we could go on and on and on looking at passages, Colossians 1, verses 1 through 11, and read that sometime about what he's talking about there, how that the Christians are growing and how that they're needed to be encouraged. We thank, verse 3 here, he said, we thank the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And then he goes on down through there talking about these people and what he's done, what they are doing and what he's doing for them. He's praying, he's encouraging, he's lifting up. Brethren, we talk about things that are found in the Bible and things that we need to do in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. This is one of the things that everybody can do. You don't have to know a lot, but you can do that. And you see, these simple things are sometimes things that we overlook. And they may be those that are very, very important. Let's encourage other people. That's a part of what they did in the New Testament. That's a part of what they did there. We could go on to see Peter in 1 Peter, the commendation that he gave to other people and the word that he gave to others, trying to help those people to realize you're important, you're needed, you're necessary. We live in a world that's filled with a lot of negative things. We live in the world that's filled with a lot of things that create problems and difficulties for us. And we understand that. But I'm going to tell you, don't get caught up in that world. Don't become discouraged. Be an encourager. Be one that's you're happy about things. And I know, just as these fellows here, I mean, one had been stoned, and they went out to another city to encourage the brethren, to lift them up, to help them. That's what we got to do. We can't be people that we're so discouraged all the time. We've got to be those that encourage. High fives at church, I don't know, might be a good thing sometime. I'm not saying let's start that, okay? I get in trouble here in a minute if I'm not careful. I'm not saying, you know, when we get through the songs today, everybody runs up and jumps up on top of the song leader. I don't know whether that would be real good or not. But you can go up and say you did a good job. You can go up and say thank you for the ability that you have. And let me tell you something. Everybody in this congregation has something that we can go up to them and say thank you for what you're doing. And we need to do it. That's just a part of what Christianity is all about. That's a part of what we're trying to do. We need to do it with humility. We need to do it to encourage others, to lift others up, to make them stronger. Because you see, we're a body. In Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 3 through 8, it talks about the church being a body and each part of that body working together. Each part different from the other, but each part working together to build up the body and make the whole body stronger. The little things help the body. And they need to be done. And if you want to say the little people, that's okay too. They lift us up. You know, I mean, we'll have our song service in a couple of weeks here on Sunday night. If you're not coming to that, you need to come to that. The young men will come up here and they'll lead songs. And they're good. Amen. I got that one. Y'all just sit there. Y'all sleeping. They're good. And they encourage us. They encourage some of us to lead a song. They encourage us to see what can be done and to lift people up. That's what we're doing. We're coming together to do that. We partake of the Lord's Supper not because we have to, but because we get to. Because it lifts us up. It brings us to the throne of heaven. It shows us the sacrifice that was given for us. It shows us how much God really loved us and how much He continues to love us. And we celebrate that. We sing songs. Man, I hope you get into these songs and sing. I sing, and I know I can't sing that well. Anybody want to hit that with an amen? Okay, I got a couple of heads like this. You know, they feel ashamed to say that, but that's okay. But let me tell you something. If nobody's going to sing, I'll sing with you. Now, you may tell me to sing a little low so I don't get you off. That's okay too. But I'm going to try to sing with you. I'm going to try to encourage you. Enjoy your worship. A part of what we're doing here in worshiping together is to encourage each other. Because if you don't come to the worship service, it's not because of the superior Christianity that you have. And it's not going to lead you closer to God. You need to be here to be led closer to God. We've got to be willing to do that. That's what we're talking about here today. We're talking about that. We need to have a humility about that, but we need to also be those people that are willing to lift others up. Now, the final question that I've got up here, we should do the same today. Or will we do the same today? Maybe is the question that we need to ask. Are we going to encourage other people? Now, I don't think that this one lesson is going to encourage us to be encouraging people the rest of our life. I hope it does. I hope it encourages you to do that. We need to be parents that encourage our children. We need to be teachers that encourage our students. We need to be preachers that encourage the people in the pew. The people in the pew need to be encouraging the preachers and everybody else. We need to do that. Because if you want to be discouraged, boy, you can get it in this world. Woo! Open up the news. A lot of people don't like the news. I like the news. I think it's great. Let them talk about the trouble and the problems in the world. And I can tell them about Christianity and what people do to change other people and how other people help other people. Look at what happened here in the last couple of weeks. How many people are helping and doing for others. I tell you, if it doesn't make you feel good about the community in, move. That's it. Be a Christian. A Christian is a person that encourages other people in what they're doing that's right and good. We want to discourage people in doing wrong, but we want to encourage people in doing what's right. Several years ago, many of us here made a decision to do what's right. We heard that gospel. We believed it in such a way that we wanted to repent of our sins, confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and then be immersed in water to have those sins washed and cleansed away. Because that's what they did in the first century. I hope you're encouraged about becoming a Christian. I hope you're encouraged about being a Christian. I hope you're encouraged about seeing that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that whatever you repent of, God will forgive. And He'll do it all day long if you'll repent all day long. People that are lost determine that they want to be lost. Because if you want to be saved, you can be saved. We sing a song of invitation to encourage you either become a Christian or to confess sins in your life. Please, that's what we're trying to do here. It's encourage people to do what's good and what's right.